Saga Talks.
Hello, Feather Legrand. Welcome to Saga Talks, our podcast by Kiss FM and Saga Festival. Happy to have you here as our first guest. How are you, first of all?
I'm awesome, actually. I'm still in Miami at the moment, so the weather's pretty good here, and yeah, I'm having a great time, so perfect.
So vacation, I suppose.
No, not really. I'm doing like a bunch of shows in the US here. So Miami is my home base, and then I fly out from here. So yeah.
So the world started to reopen, if I can say so, and big events are happening again. How does it feel to be back on stage after these two very strange years?
I mean, it's absolutely amazing. It's really absolutely amazing. I mean, of course, like here and there were some social distancing parties, let's say, but of course it's not the same. But I was very thankful and happy that you know, we could do a few of those in safe conditions. But I mean, it's of course absolutely amazing that you know, I mean, because nobody knew how long this was going to take. So I think that after 2 years, even though it definitely felt like a long time sometimes, but I'm super happy that we are able to do this already.
Do you feel, or have you felt these days during these events that you are performing at in the US, a difference between the vibe or the reaction of the public right now compared to the one before the pandemic?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I think you can definitely tell that you know, people missed it, so they're very ready for it. But I think the main difference is probably that I think in those 2 years there has been a musical shift. I just noticed that everything has gotten a lot more housey, let's say. Yeah. I don't know exactly why that is. Maybe, yeah, I guess, you know, in the pandemic, people just kept searching for other stuff that they liked. That's my guess, actually. But yeah, so but for me, that's of course where I originally started. So for me, it's been absolutely amazing. Also musically, you know, sort of go back to my roots and play a lot more housey sets, which is absolutely great.
This brings me to two separate questions that I have prepared here for you. First of all, you are for so many years a festival sensation, and it's hard to stay relevant, I presume, in this world. You need to follow, like you said earlier, about this return to the roots and to the roots of the house music. The trend changes quickly, even in the festival area. How do you stay, you know, on track? How is it hard to stay relevant in this world? And are you following these trends? Are you quickly adapting to these trends, or do you prefer to set up your own trend?
Well, I mean, like what I like to do when I'm at a festival myself is always check out acts that I don't know, and preferably from a music genre that I'm not super familiar with, or, you know, so it could be drum and bass or maybe hip hop, or because I always think it's interesting to sort of figure out what people like about a certain music and what people react to in a certain music. So and that's what I personally do as well, you know, as new trends or new subgenres come along, I always try to find one that I'm personally comfortable with, that I feel gives me the same joy that where I started, you know. Because I mean, the simple fact, also, if you look at painters also always go through different phases in their life, you know. I mean, if it's a blue phase or you know, but I I think it's just part of being creative. I personally just even if there were no changes, I think you also want to look within yourself to, like, hey, how can I make my art, and in my case that's music more, or dance music, you know, more interesting or still challenging to myself. So I think I'm actually always happy. I mean, that doesn't mean that let's say, like the biggest, I always like the biggest trend, but I do find it a challenge, and I enjoy that challenge to always find a way that I can sort of make it my own. And I think that's what kept me hopefully interesting to my fans as well, is that I always try to embrace whatever's going on, but still do it in my own sort of vision of how I see this kind of music, or how I think it should sound or be brought to an audience.
This brings another question into my mind. Speaking of your performance and your mix, and speaking of trends and not trends, how do you create the story for your mix? I mean, it's already set up into your mind before the show. Do you adapt to people's reaction? Do you have certain hooks inside your mix that you need to add all the time to be your personal touch? What's the story behind your mix?
This maybe sounds a little calculated, but I mean I don't like to prepare my set that before I get there I already know every track I'm gonna play. That's something I cannot or do not like to do. But my solution to that is sort of I sort of have a system. So I have like a few tracks that I can start with. That could be my intro. I have like three or four choices, and then I have like, let's say, 10 tracks to follow that track up, and then another 20 to follow that up. So at any particular time in my set, I can always choose like, hey, I am gonna play this track because I think that's what's needed right now, or I'm gonna skip these next five tracks because I don't think it's needed, or I'm gonna stick in a certain area of my set. So let's say I have 4 or 5 hours of music, and I usually just play an hour and a half or 2 hours. But in that way, my library setup, that it always goes from A to B, but I don't necessarily have to play every track, so I can choose which tracks I think are fitted for the moment. Because sometimes, I mean, you have to play a little more, let's say, commercially friendly. Yeah. And sometimes you're able to play a bit more underground. But I can always keep the storyline of what I prepared at home. So I do prepare, but not until the extent that I know every track that I'm gonna play.
Okay, I notice you are quite active on TikTok, for example, and on internet. Everybody's paying attention to TikTok right now, and everybody's trying to be relevant there at this moment. And I noticed your reels are more about tips for production, track releases, and industry insights. Do you consider yourself an influencer in this area?
No, definitely not. But that doesn't mean I you know, being around for a while and sort of had to learn in by doing things right, but also definitely doing things wrong. I think I do have something hopefully interesting to say about it. But I started those things because I actually got a lot of questions from guys on my label.
Oh, okay.
Or guys that want to sign to my label, like, hi, how do I do this? How do I do that? And a lot of those things are basic, you know, very basic questions. You know, how do I get my track released on yeah. any label for that matter? And those were the same questions I, of course, when I started out, also had to struggle with. So, but I find out, you know, over time that there are certain things that do work and certain things that don't work, you know. So so that's what I try to in a simple way explain a little bit.
Yeah, you know, people want to skip steps usually. Many people want to skip steps usually, and they want to learn your recipe and maybe to manage to reach a certain point quicker than usual. Like I said earlier, they need to take the wrong steps before taking the right steps. So many things changed in the last 2 years. What changed for you during this time?
Well, I, you know, actually a lot of things. I think I mean, the music that I made during the pandemic definitely changed, because to me it didn't make sense to make dance music. It made more sense to make, let's say, a Spotify friendly music, which tends to be more vocal and have more of a pop music structure. Because I mean, I guess there was not a lot of dancing going on. Maybe, you know, you can always dance a little bit in your living room, but it's not the same thing. So that kind of made sense to me. And on a personal level, it was kind of nice maybe to have a forced break of things, because it kind of gave me time to sort of, how would you say that, like sort of reviewed what I've done, what I'm happy with, what I'm not happy with. But I think that went for a lot of people, you know. It was sort of like a forced break of things, and yeah, at least for me, it was also like a little bit of a journey inwards to just figure out, you know, in general, if you're happy with what you've done so far, if you're happy with who you are, where you are,
what needs to be changed, where to go.
Yeah, you know, I think those were all good questions, you know, because I mean, I figured out pretty quickly that I actually really love what I do, but at the same time, I also realized, because it's so easy to get caught up in this job and just always go from A to B, you know, but I did realize that I actually missed my family more than I thought. You know, I really enjoyed spending some time with my family and doing some holiday things, and you know, which has been a while. But at the same time, I also realized that I really don't like the winters in Europe. So, yeah, you know,
like a person that is traveling also a lot, because I'm working in the music business as well. You know, we have a saying in Romania, during these 2 years, I managed to meet my family properly. They are good people, you know, something like that.
That says it all. Yeah, that's perfect.
Exactly. Speaking of music, I need to tell you something. I have in front of me a playlist, which I'm using usually during my business travels and my flights. And in my playlist that I'm listening to during the flights, are including, at least one of them is including two of your tracks, Let Me Think About It and Losing Control, which is my new obsession since last summer when you released it. Tell me please about your flying playlist, which is, let's say, first track that comes to your mind that you are usually listening to during your flights.
I mean, I don't listen to that much music outside of work, to be really honest. Okay. But something I always have on my phone is the greatest hits album of Jamiroquai.
Okay.
It's just so, I mean, I always admire the way the mixdown is. That is one thing. But I really, really enjoy the music, because it's sort of like chilled out, but not so chilled out that it makes you go to sleep.
Okay.
So, and it's like super funky. I always like funky music. But other than that, I think I'm usually on the flight, I use that time to sort of like hunt for samples. And
also, you're working during the flights too.
Well, I mean, I on a flight, you can't do a proper mix down because your ears are closed up because of the pressure and stuff. So I usually use that time to find new sounds, find new samples, or dive into a mashup or a bootleg of a certain track that I want to do. So that's how I usually use my time. So it depends on what I'm working on.
Okay. Speaking also about tracks, if you could play one song for the rest of your life, or let me say it differently, if you will go to a remote island and there is only one track that you can bring with you, what would that song be?
Not even one artist, just one track.
One track, just one track.
Okay. Maybe. Oh, yeah, that's so hard. That's so hard, because I mean, you know, music always goes according to your mood. I guess maybe Fragile from Sting. That's okay. Something I can hear. I mean, it's not the most uplifting song, but I think it's a very I just think choice. He's an amazing artist in general. Yeah,
that's a good choice. Speaking of old tracks, and this trends, because we started our discussion speaking also about trends, but in the festival area. You have a song called Heaven, recently released, and I was wondering, how do you feel about this trend of adaptations? Because you use a sample from a very well-known song. What is the best period in music for you, and what other songs would you like to cover or adapt or maybe rework?
I mean, in this case, when it actually gets released, also has a lot of time to do with if we are able to clear it.
Yeah.
You know, if you are able to obtain the rights to allow to do a cover,
because I know, it's crazy. It takes time.
Yeah, way back, you can just, like, you know, if you look at the whole Daft Punk album, it's all like old disco stuff used, but then it was a little. There was a little less policing on that. Let me put it that way. I mean, I do think it's a good thing that happens now, because, you know, if you rework something from the original artist, he deserves obviously the credits. But what I like to do is start somewhere, either on Spotify, but for searching for certain things, I rather use YouTube. I just start somewhere with sort of whatever. It could be an 80s playlist or 70s funk or disco. I just start there, and then you get all these recommendations, and then I deliberately go into stuff that I don't know, and that's how I usually find the most interesting stuff also to rework.
Okay. Do you remember the first time you heard one of your songs on the radio? Which one was it?
The first time I heard something on dance radio,
but on mainstream radios, I mean,
mainstream. I mean, that was definitely Put Your Hands Up for Detroit. That was the weirdest thing ever. That's just super weird. That's just super weird.
Because, I mean, called anyone is like, I made it, I'm on the radio.
No, yeah, but it's like, to this day, it has just been such a. I mean, let me think about it. Yes, The Creeps, yes. So Much Love, yes. Because to me personally, that has more vocal value. I mean, Detroit, and don't get me wrong, I love the track, and I'm super thankful for everything that happened, but it's not your typical radio track. So me, to this day, it's just been such a weird phenomenon that just happened. You know, it just, apparently the timing was perfect, which is something I have nothing to do with, but those are things that just happened. So I definitely remember that, but I think what I remember even more, which was for me maybe the weirdest thing, is the back on MTV, there were MTV awards, and yeah, artists were allowed to nominate what they think was a track that deserved an award. So and then Will.i.am came on, and he nominated my track. I think that for me was the first time, even though the track was already number one in several places, but that for me sort of was really the ultimate
moment of recognition.
Being the most important moment of recognition. Yeah, but also being the most flabbergasted of how you never know, and there's so many stories of this, not from many artists, but you just never know where music goes and how it finds its way, you know? I mean, like, Happy from Pharrell is also such an amazing example that, you know, they didn't expect it at all, and then some radio DJ starts playing it, and then, you know, before you know it, the whole world loves that song. So that's the mystery and the greatness about music, I think.
I noticed something about you, because we were in the same place during an event, and I noticed something about you, that you like to, after you finish your mix, if you are in the area for some time, you are also checking other DJs' performance, you are enjoying the show. Have you ever been in the crowd during another DJ's set, during a festival where you performed also?
Many times.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Not so many DJs are doing this, you know? You think you are a little bit shocked when you are a festival, art addicts like me, to see your favorite DJ in the crowd with you dancing, enjoying the show. I mean, it's something unexpected, and I wanted to ask you about this, because for the public this feels like you have your favorite DJ as a down-to-earth person and not that guy that you cannot touch, and it makes more valuable the experience. I mean, are you usually doing this, or is just from time to time?
Well, I mean, simply said, there is not always the time, but especially at festivals, usually there is a bit more time because you just leave the next day, or even before your set, you can walk around. But I think I just love to, I love to like go to different kind of stages and sort of like always figure out what it is that makes people love a certain kind of music. Yeah. Because I think it just gives you a bigger understanding of what is appealing and what brings the energy of a certain kind of music. So I actually love to walk around festivals and just see various artists. I don't necessarily need to see dance artists. It could be also reggae or hip hop or drum and bass, or whatever I can see and wherever I think good stuff is going on. And I think to be in the crowd is a better way to really experience the music and gives you a bigger understanding of also what you're doing yourself.
Tell me, please, for the end, what the people can expect from you during the festival, because it's very near. I mean, we have a few days, if I may say so, left until Saga Festival happens at the beginning of June, and you will perform there. What to expect from you during the festival?
Without giving away too much, of course, but I mean I always try to do a good blend of new and old music, let's say. And with old music, I mean, like, I usually do a remix of my own tracks or of older tracks, that are just classics. And then, I mean, I made so much music, and like so much music came out, and I kind of, there was so many tracks that you accumulated over those 2 years. So I can't even exactly say what I'm going to do, because there's so much stuff to play and so much stuff that I like. But I think I'm always very keen on telling a solid story, or have a solid storyline, and I hope that the energy I bring is always I think very that's what I'm personally try to be the best at the most, is having like a really good energy flow throughout the whole set. So that's probably what I'm focused on the most.
Great. A shout out to all the people listening to Saga Talks and Kiss FM listeners and Saga people who will join the festival in June.
Yeah, of course. I mean, first of all, for everyone that is coming, like, it's absolutely amazing that after all this time, we are really, really going to do festivals again. I'm going to bring my absolute best. I'm really, really looking forward to it. I mean, summer is one of my favorite times. And, I love coming over there. And so I actually can't wait.
Okay, can't wait to have you here in Bucharest during Saga Festival at the beginning of June. Fede Legrand, thank you so much. I would shout out myself also something like, ladies and gentlemen, Fede Legrand, because I know you have an MC on stage.
Oh, yeah.
I always dreamed to do this. Fede Legrand! Thank you so much for your time and for always. This talk. And we look forward to see you live in action on stage of Saga Festival.
Finally! Yeah,
finally. Thank you. Cheers.
Perfect. Thank you, man.
Thank you so much.